Bezos Hashem Yisbarech, the daf for Thursday, Parshas Vaeschanon, Tovshin, Ayin Gimel, is Chaf Ches and Meseches Psachim, the 350th daf in Shas. We are picking up from one of our longest layoffs that we had in the daf and the halacha of us learning together. I think it's been a week since I've recorded the last daf Yom Yishir. One of my Talmidim, David Abender, came over to me and says his father, who's one of our Chabura, who listens to the recordings, Dr. Abender from Muncie, said to him that I must have flown out of town, and that's correct. I went to visit my sister in Cleveland, and I did not have the recorder or the ability to record it. And then we had Tisha B'Av, and that requires time and preparation, doing kinos with the Talmidim, so I missed learning with many of you. And Be'ezer Hashem, I hope now to jump in to learn Beretzifus together. Now is a time that's called the Bein Hazmanim of the Yeshivas, and I hope I will have more time to be able to learn with you and the Daf Yomi. Daf Chav Ches really is a turning point in Perek Kol Sha'a. Most of Perek Kol Sha'a were discussing the halachas of Machalos Asuras up until now. There were some other exciting topics as well. At the end of yesterday's Daf, on Chav Zayin Amabez, the Gemara segued into the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim of how one is supposed to destroy chametz on Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion ein bir chametz ela bisreifa, that the only way one can be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu is by burning chametz. The Gemara will discuss the source of Rabbi Yehuda. In yesterday's daf, the Gemara rejected every possible source. The Gemara then, only 12 lines into the daf, will begin to discuss the shita of the Chachamim, who holds that you could spread the chametz to the wind. The Gemara will discuss how one could dispose of the chametz according to Chachamim by putting it into the sea. Does one need, asks the Gemara, to be able, or more precisely, is it required that a person also grind the chametz into crumbs and then put it in the sea, or could he put it into the sea whole? The Gemara is going to discuss that until the next Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of Chavches Amud Aleph will discuss the halachas of chametz shavar alav pesach, that if it was in a nachri's rishus, it'll be permissible according to Mishnah. In a Jew's rishus, it would be prohibited. The Gemara then will go on to discuss that our Mishnah is actually a large dispute amongst three or four different tanoim about the halacha of chametz shavar alav pesach. We follow the halacha, our Mishnah. The Gemara will analyze that machlokis through the Amud Beis, through Chaf Ches Amud Beis, discussing the Zman of the Isser of Chametz, whether that could extend after Pesach itself. So let's pick up. First word, first line, Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, first word on the 350th Daf in Shas. Chazer Rabbi Yehuda V'danu Din Acher. Rabbi Yehuda began to give another source for why he thinks that the only way you're allowed to get rid of your Chametz is by burning. And that is the following. We're going to learn from the prohibition of leaving over kachim, noisar, which has a requirement of burning, to chametz that also one cannot lead over. Says the Gemara, noisar, yeshna bebalsa toisiru. Noisar, you're in violation of the dindo rice lois esirat boiker by leaving it over. V'chametz bebalsa esiru, as well as by chametz, it says lo yirah v'lo yimatzah, you can't leave it over for Pesach. Just like Noiser has a requirement to be burned, so too Chametz. Amrullah, the Chacham disagree. Ashem Talui v'chata sa'oif habala safek l'dvarecha yechichu. The halacha of an Ashem Talui. Rashi describes an Ashem Talui is someone who has a safek whether he violated an Iser Kares. For example, he wasn't sure, says Rashi in the second line, whether he ate chelev or regular fats. Chelev, of course, are the prohibited fats. There are other fats that are kosher. They might not be healthy, but they're kosher. If someone violates one of those isurim, he brings a carbon called an ashem talui. Or a chatas oifa bala safek. For example, Rashi explains, if a woman is mesupak, that when she miscarried, whether she actually miscarried a fetus, a human fetus, or it wasn't even a fetus at all. And then in such a case, she brings a chatas ha'oif, as described in Nazir, Daf Chavtes. She's not allowed to eat it, though, because it's a safek, whether she has to bring one altogether. So therefore, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan in Meseches tmura. What's supposed to be done? This chatas ha'oif. Tanakama holds, the Rabban holds, that it's burnt, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is disposed of by in the Beis HaMikdash. Those things are going to disprove the equation to Noser. Why? Says the Gemara. There, on the one hand, there's a prohibition of leaving them over. We, the Chachamim, were of the opinion that what you have to do, Rashi emphasized that we're talking about now, the Asham Talui, that you have to burn it if it's left over. And you say that it could also be buried, it doesn't have to be burnt. The parameters of that machlekes, we would have to leave Mirtz Hashem when we get to Tumura. But the question is clear, and that is the Chachamim are saying your rationale is that anything that has Baal Taisar, which is going to include Naisar as well as Chametz, automatically requires burning. That's not true, because you yourself were of the opinion that Asham Talui, which has an Isar Naisar yet at the same time, could be buried. Shasak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was silent. Rabbi Yehuda was quiet, and he conceded that it was a fair question on him. The Amoraim now gave an expression to Rabbi Yehuda's silence and his admission that he was caught in Akasha. Hence, Amar Rav Yosef said, "Hainu damri inshi." This is what people say, that when a person is trapped by his own doing or hurt by something that he himself had said, kapa dechata nagara, the dish that the craftsman makes out, begava nisraf chardla, he will burn himself, in other words, his tongue, with the mustard. In other words, what Rabbi Yehuda had said was used as a kasha against him. Amar Abaye said, sadona besadne Yosef, when the shackle maker, the person who makes handcuffs, Yosef sits in his own shackles, he's trapped himself with his own shackles. Midvil yadi mishtalim, through his own handiwork, he has paid himself back. Rava amar giyare bigire miktil, when the arrow maker is killed by his arrows, midvil yadi mishtalim. So Rabbi Yehuda was trapped on what he himself had said. I was bothered that by at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to end off with a strong accusation with Rabbi Yehuda. Yet we will see that the Gemara and Rabbi Yehuda hold on to their Shita, and it's celebrated Shita today. A lot of Rishonim and Achronim discuss the Shita Rabbi Yehuda of Ein Bir Chametz Ela Bisreifa, yet it seems that he was totally schlugged up. The Maram Chalava is quoted as saying that the first limud of Rabbi Yehuda from yesterday's daf, where he learned out from Neisar, he holds one can learn out that kal v'chomer, even though it's a kal v'chomer shetchilasa lahachmir v'saifoi lahakel. Either way, we continue on with the shita that, of course, is the dominant shita. It's the shita lahalacha v'chachon maimri mefar v'zayre l'ruach, that a person can spread his chametz to the wind and be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. The Gemara asks the following shaili: Boilu heichi ka'amar mefar v'zayre l'ruach. How was the Chachamim Shita formulated? Did they formulate that one could crumble the chametz and send it to the wind, and crumbled it, put it into the sea? Or what did the Chachamim hold? That you crumble and send it to the wind. You could put it into the sea in its original state without crumbling it. The crux of the question, I believe, goes back to the Lashon HaMishnah. The Chachamim look back in the Lashon HaMishnah, Chafalef Amid Aleph, Af Mefar V'Zeh the Ruach, Oy Matil L'Yam. So is Oy Matil L'Yam mean you do the exact same thing to it, or you could put in the sea, or it's a totally different halacha that doesn't require crumbling at all? And we have a similar type of issue when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yosi says, how do you get rid of Avodah Zarah? You crumble it down, you crush it, you granulate it, and you put it into the wind, or you put it into the sea. And we had a similar question. Do you have to crumble it and then put it in the sea? Or do we say when you put in the sea, you could put it there as is? You could put it in the sea in its original state. Question mark. Oh, my Rabbi. Rabbi answered, Mistabra, avoid the zara de liam hamelech kaazla loy boishchika. It's logical that when it comes to avodah zarah, where the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis describes that you're supposed to dispose of it specifically to the Yam HaMelech. So then, in such a case, you won't need to crumble it because the salt water will destroy it. Chametz, but when it comes to chametz, l'shar naharis kazel bo'i pirur. When the Chachamim allowed for chametz to be put into the water, they didn't require it to go specifically to the Yam HaMelech, and therefore it could go into any river. And if it's not going to have the decomposing agent of a lot of salt, so then in such a case it's likely to stay intact. And for that reason, you're going to need to granulate it when it comes to chametz. Amalei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef didn't like this svara. Adarabba, ipcha mistabra. The exact opposite is, should be true. Avodah Zarah de lo mimisa b'yishchika. When it comes to Avodah Zarah that is not soft and likely to fall apart in the water, there you need to granulate it. Chametz de mimos, chametz that becomes very soft in the water, lo b'yipiru. That would not require the act of crushing. Tanya Kavasei de Rabba, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yosef. We had a braisa like Rabba and a braisa like Rav Yosef. Tanya Kavasei de Rabba. We learned like Rabba. Ha'im halach b'midbar. If a person is going in the desert, the fire vizah, the ruach, he could crush the chametz and send it to the wind. Ha'im halach b'svina. If he's in a ship, mefaru matal yam, he grinds it and puts it in the sea. So we see over here, like Rabba had suggested, that when it comes to chametz, you need to granulate it. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yosef, we learn a brice like Rav Yosef, Hayi Mahalich Bamidbar, Shoichek Vizoyre LaRuach, he crushes it and sends it to the wind. Hayi Mahalich Bisvina, he was going on a boat, Shoichel Umatil Liyam, he crushes it and put it in the sea. Now at first glance, it's hard to see how any of them are a raya. Shchika Kasha LaRabba. When the Braisa said, in the second Braisa, that you do Shchika, so what was the Raya for Rav Yosef? That presumably we're talking about Avodah Zarah, and we see that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you have to be Shoichek, so that will be a question to Rabba. It's true that we have a Braisa like Rabba, where it said, Mefaru Matil Liyam, and we understood that to be talking about Chametz, but there's another Braisa that says that you have to be Shoichek, and according to Rabba, there is no requirement of Shoichek when it comes to Avodah Zarah. That's the Gemara's Kasha, when the Gemara says, Kasha, Shchika, Kasha, L'Rabba. Pirur, it's true that we had a Raya to Rav Yosef when we spoke about the second Braisa that Rashi explains is talking about Avodah Zarah, that says that you have to be Shoichek. That's true that you had a Braisa that was like that. However, there was an above Braisa that was talking about Chametz and said to do Pirur. Pirur, Kasha, L'Rav Yosef. Answers the Gemara, Shchika L'Rabba L'Kasha, the Braisa that says that when you have to do Shchika according to Rabba when it comes to Avodah Zarah L'Kasha Holi Yam HaMelech Holi Shar Nohoros. Rabba only said that you don't have to do Shchika when it comes to Yam HaMelech. Other rivers he'll be Modi have to do Shchika. Pirur L'Rav Yosef L'Kasha, the Braisa that says they have to do Pirur on Chametz is not a Kasha on Rav Yosef. Ha B'chiti Ha B'nehama. It depends if we're talking about the wheat itself, which is hard, so that even Rav Yosef would agree requires pirur. When it's bread, that's when Rav Yosef says that you don't need to do pirur. Again, the braisas, when we first read them, we didn't emphasize this point. When the Gemara brings a raya from a braisa to Rabba, we see that there's a requirement to be mefarer, which the Gemara assumes is talking about chametz. So you see that there's a requirement to crush the chametz. And the Gemara brings a raya to Rav Yosef that there's a requirement to crush specifically Avodah Zarah because of Shoichek. Presumably, the word Mefarer is more appropriate for Chametz, and Shoichek is more appropriate for Avodah Zarah. So ostensibly, those rayas are, on the one hand, a raya to Rabba is a kasha on Rav Yosef, and a raya to Rav Yosef is a kasha on Rabba, and the Gemara defended it as we just described. The Mishnah continues 7 lines from the bottom, and begins to discuss the halachas of chametz shavar alav pesach. Chametz shal nachri shavar alav pesach. If you have chametz of a Gentile that pesach passed while it was in the Gentile's rishus, mutar bahana, then it's permissible for hana. There isn't a prohibition. We're going to see that the maskanas hagemara is that chametz shavar alav pesach is an iser midrabanan. It's also midrabanan to have hana, but that's only if it belonged to a Yisrael when Pesach passed. Shlomo Zalman came over with a question. Yes, Shlomo Zalman. However, the Mishnah continues, Vishel Yisrael, But if the chametz was in a Jew's rishus over Pesach, asur ba'ana, shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo yiroa lecha sa'ar. Simple reading of our Mishnah is that the pasuk somehow refers to an isra of chametz shavar of a Pesach. However, Rashi immediately, and we follow Rashi's direction all the time, points out that the Gemara will not understand the Mishnah in its simple way, and rather the Mishnah is driving at a knas that since he was over bal yirah bal yimatzi, since he was over alo yirah lechasar, there is an iser derabbanan to get hana. The Gemara analyzes mani masnisan. Who does our Mishnah work with? It seems not to work like the opinion. Seems not to be in accordance with any tana. Mani masnisan loy Reb Yehuda v'loy Reb Shimon v'loy Reb Yosi Aglili. Neither the Tana Reb Yehuda nor Rabbi Shimon nor Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Mahi, what are we referring to? A brisa. Disanyi, we learn the brisa three lines on the bottom of Chesam and Aluf Chametz. Bein lefnei zmanoi, bein laacher zmanoi. Yehuda holds Allah is the Chametz during the time of the second half of Erev Pesach. That's lefnei zmanoi, as well as after Pesach. Over alav belav, you're going to be over on alav if you derive benefit from it. Toich zmanoi, if it's during the zmanoi iser, over belav ubekaris. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that shaloi bezmanoi lefnei ulaacher is an iser lav. During the time is an iser of karis. Rabbi Shimon Oimer going to amibes chametz lefnei zmanoi ulaacher zmanoi ein over lav beloi klum. There's no iser lav according to Rabbi Shimon, both Erev Pesach as well as after Pesach. There are different opinions in the Rishonim how Rabbi Shimon actually views Erev Pesach, despite the fact that there is no Isser Lav. Tosfos and Dibur HaMashchil, Rabbi Shimon says that he would agree that there would be an Isser Achila. However, there would be no Isser Hana. This is the position of Tosfos. There are other Shitos as well. There's a Shita of a Baal HaMor. There's a Ramban in the Molchamos, a Ran as well. We, of course, are doing the Blat. We give the basic Mar Mikomos and we continue on. But ostensibly, in our Gemara, there is no Isser Lav at all, even for Achila, according to Rabbi Shimon. There would be an Isser Rabban of Achila, according to Taisus, but not in Isser Hano. Umishosh, Aser Ba'achila, continues Rabbi Shimon. At the time that's Aser Ba'achila, Aser Ba'ano, it's also Aser Ba'ano. The Gemara interjects Asan L'Tanakama, and that's consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. One part is similar to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Isra Achila and Isra Hano go together. According to Rabbi Shimon, that Isra Doraisa only begins on the day of Pesach itself. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer. Rabbi Yosi Aglili rejects these opinions. Tamal Atzvacha, it's a wonder. Hey, Chametz Aser Ba'ana Kol Shiva. How are you going to say that the Chametz is Aser Ba'ana all 7 days? Even during Pesach, writes Rashi in Dibur HaMashchil Tama, Rabbi Yosi Aglili argues that it's going to be Mutar Bahano. The Gemara now continues to recount, after it mentioned the Shita Rabbi Yosi Aglili, we go back to recount a give and take between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about their respective Shitas. Again, to keep the bigger picture in mind, our Mishnah had told us that Chomet Shavar of a Pesach is Aser Bahano. And our Gemara is discussing the three different positions of the Tanoim in regards to pre-Pesach and post-Pesach. In other words, Erev Pesach after the sixth hour and Chametz Shavar of a Pesach. We quoted three Shitas. Ultimately, the Gemara is going to point out that our Mishnah seems to be in accordance with none of them. Now we go back and analyze Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Umenai loichal chametz mishei shos l'mala. Shuoi v'beloisa say, how do I know someone who eats chametz after 6 hours? Is oiver belav that we learned that Rabbi Yehuda said. Shenemar loisoichal olav chametz. You shall not eat on it chametz. What is on it? The Torah HaKadosh is describing in Parashas Re'eh, if I'm not mistaken, the Karban Pesach, and saying you shall not eat on the Karban Pesach chametz. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda understands loisaych alav doesn't only mean literally eating the Karban Pesach with chametz, but rather during the time of Shchitas Karban Pesach, which we will learn in the later prakim, can begin already after Chatzos. However, Rabbi Shimon rejects this position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Shimon, v'chayev shaloymer kein, could you learn this pshat? V'aloi kvar nema, the pasuk already used this expression. Loisaych alav chametz shivas yomim toich alav matzos. It says loisaych alav chametz, and then immediately counters, you shall eat matzah for 7 days and not eat chametz in Cain. Matam Lomer said, how are you going to explain the pasuk there in Re'e that's describing the chametz with the carbon pasach, the prohibition of it? In Cain, Matam Lomer, Losachal of chametz, B'shosh yeshno bikum achol matzah, yeshno b'al toichel chametz. U'b'shosh she'eno bikum achol matzah, enoi b'al toichel chametz. Tysus is very confused about the lashon of the Gemara here. Tysus dibar maschil im kain. Tysus is madchik that the lashon of the Gemara should be read va'aloi kfar nemar loisach alav chametz shivas yamim loisach alav chametz shivas yam toch alav matzos. Period. Says in the pasuk, says Tysus, that you're not allowed to eat the chametz for 7 days during the time of achilas matzah. It must be then that loisoichal alav chametz is going, says Taisvis, on the zman of achilas pesach and not hakravas pesach. And the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is responding that loisoichal alav is referring to the zman achilas pesach, which is b'shosh yeshna b'kuma achol matzna yeshna b'bal toichal chametz. The same time, when you eat the carbon pesach, you eat the matzah as well, and there's an iser of chametz. There's a long arichus in many of the mefarshim of how to read this line in the Gemara, but we'll go with the simple reading of Taisus Dibar Matzchil in Cain. But I do agree that there are some problems in the way we read it above. Let's continue on though in the Daf Yomi Pshat. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What is the rationale of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says there are three different sources that Rabbi Yehuda darshins. Tlosa Kroi Ksivi, there are three psukim. Number one, in the end of Parshas Boy, the pasuk says, Lo Yei Ochel Chametz. Number two, in the previous perek, the Torah says, V'chol Machmetzes Lo Yisoichelu. And in Re'e, it says, Lo Yisoichel Av Chametz. Chad Lefnei Zmanoi, one is coming to tell us the Isser before Pesach, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, V'chad L'achaz Manoi, one is Chametz Shavala V'Pesach, which is an Isur D'Raisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chad L'Toich Zmanoi. Rabbi Shim, what's Rabbi Shim going to respond to Rabbi Yehuda's sources? He does not agree that those periods before and after are Isurei D'Raisa. Rabbi Shim, V'chad L'Toich Zmanoi, one of them is during Pesach itself. V'chol Machmetzes, Miboyle, but we need the Pasuk Chol Machmetzes not to tell us for an Easter before or after, but for a different reason, for the Sanya Elielosh and Ischametz Me'elov, the process of Chimutz is a process in which the flour begins to ferment. Fermentation could take place due to an exterior factor, for example, yeast, at least the biblical form of yeast, would cause the Chametz to ferment, or it could ferment on its own. And the Elishin is Chametz Me'elov, Machmas Dover Acher Minayin, Talmud Lomer Kol Machmetzes Lo Yisoichelu. Lo Yeachal Chametz, and the Pasuk Lo Yeachal Chametz, that's also needed for something else. In Boy Lechid Esanyo, Rabbi Yosi Agli Lomer, Minayin LePesach Mitzrayim She'en Chimutzei Noeg El Yem Echot, Talmud Lomer Lo Yeachal Chametz, V'samech Le Hat Yoim Atem Yoitzim. Lo Yeachal Chametz was written specifically for Pesach Mitzrayim to tell them, and to teach us about Pesach Mitzrayim, that chametz could not be eaten on one day. Lo yachal chametz, but immediately it says, Hayoim atem yoitzim b'chodesh aviv, is a remez to the idea that it was only one day, Pesach Mitzrayim. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do? He needs those psukim to tell us, Nisa d'oraisa, both before and after. Rabbi Yehuda, machmas davar acha minole, medafker rachmanam b'losha machmetzes. He would explain that since the Torah goes out of its way to say kol machmetzes, anything that is chametz or is caused to become chametz, in other words, an exterior source, it's developed into chametz, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learn out that that's also from the word machmetzes. The Gemara asks, but what about the drasha of Rabbi Yosi Aglili about Pesach Mitzrayim? He could learn it out from the smichos hayoim, and he could still learn that pasuk of loyachal of chametz to tell us, the pasuk of loyachal chametz to tell us that it's a separate iser of either before and after, by same or a different smuchin loy darish, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan at all what Rabbi Yosi Aglili had said, and he's not of the opinion that you could darshan the smichos of ayoyim atem yoitzim to tell you that Pesach Mitzrayim was only one day. The Gemara now records another teaching of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Mar, uminayin lo echal chametz mishei shos lamal shalav beloy sasei, shnemar lo echal of chametz divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns out from the pasuk lo echal of chametz. Right now, this is repetitious to what we had learned above. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon disagreed. V'chiyash aloy ma'ken, can you say such a thing? V'aloy kvar nemar lo echal of chametz shivas ayamim, toichal alav matzahs. You're not allowed to eat chametz for 7 days, and you're supposed to eat matzahs. Lo sochal of chametz, shivas ayam, tochal of matzahs. That was Rabbi Shimon's retort. Rabbi Yehuda says back, Rabbi Yehuda, shaper kamalei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda going to say, Rabbi Shimon is saying, well, Rabbi Yehuda am lecha, ahu lekoi v'choi v'afilu bizman hazeh, hu da'asa. That pasuk is not going to supposed to correlate the Yisr chametz and the mitzvah of achilas matzah, but rather is coming to bring out something else, to tell us that even bizman hazeh, where there is no Karban Pesach, there still is going to be a mitzvah of achilas matzah. To be koveya, the chiyuv of matzah is related to the chiyuv of chametz and not the chiyuv of Pesach. Rabbi Shimon, so what's Rabbi Shimon going to say back? Where does he learn that matzah is connected to the prohibition of chametz and not to Karban Pesach, that even if you don't have a Karban Pesach, you still have a chiyuv of matzah? Rabbi Shimon, l'koy v'chavim in alei, nafkalei min ba'erev, Taichlu. The pasuk says, "Ba'erev taichlu." In the evening, you should eat matzahs. That pasuk is superfluous, explains Rashi, because already says, "A matzahs umroro yochlu." And the fact that the Torah says it by itself indicates for us that there's a separate mitzvah erev taichlu, even if there isn't a Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda can't learn from there. Miboyle l'tame. He needs that pasuk to learn out the halachos of a tamei v'shayi b'derech rechaika and someone who's far away. That individual can't bring a carbon pesach. Maybe he shouldn't eat matzah umarer kamash malon. Berev taichlu is not telling us that there is a chiyuv bizman hazeh. Rather, it's telling us that someone's tamei, he'll still have a chiyuv to bring, eat matzah. Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon going to do in regards to learning out Tameh and the Derech Rechokah, that they still have a chiyuv of matzah? Tameh v'shoi b'derech rechokah lo'etzruch kra. That doesn't need a pasuk, Rabbi Shimon will argue. Deloi gara me'aral uben nechar. He should be no different than someone who does not have mila, as well as a Gentile. D'chsiv v'chal ara lo yachal boy. Boy you ain't oichal, aval oichal hu b'matzah umarar. An arel could eat matzah umarar. He still has, even though he didn't have the mila, he still has a mitzvah of matzah umara. Rashi explains here, Nachri is not a Gentile. A ben nechar over here means someone who has cut himself off and removed himself from the mitzvos of the Torah. And therefore, he's also chayiv in mitzvos, even though he's acting like a Nachri. Rabbi Yehuda ksiv b'hai uksiv b'hai. And Rabbi Yehuda says, just because it's written to be mechayev, an arel, and a ben nechar, doesn't mean that we don't need another pasuk to tell us that a tameh and a derech rechoka are also chayev, because we would think that they are a different parsha. The Gemara does not explain why Rabbi Yehuda would need both psukim. He just says that they would be different. Beautifully, and it's a tremendous simcha to find that the Rashbam in Dibur HaMaskil Ksiv on Daf Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph adds pshat in our Gemara, where our Gemara finds a redactic in that sugya over there. In Dibur HaMaskil Ksiv, the Rashbam explains that I would have had a havamina that specifically Tameh and Derech Rechaika, since they have Pesach Sheni, they would be patur to eat matzah on the first Pesach. In contrast to Aral Benechar, that there's no need for them to have Pesach Sheni in the sense that they're not going to be able to be mashlim even in the Pesach Sheni itself. So for them, we would think they're chayiv without the Karban Pesach. But someone who has Pesach Sheni, maybe he would not be chayiv in matzah on the first opportunity, because they're only going to get the tashlumen for the Karban Pesach. Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we would need both psukim. The Rashbam does not explain over there what Rabbi Shimon would say back. This concludes our daf. Tomorrow we will begin with the Gemara's question on our Mishnah, and that is that in our Mishnah we had learned the chametz she'avar alav a pesach of a goy specifically is going to be permissible, but a Jew is going to be aser. none of the opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Yosef Lili, that we had above, the Gemara is going to argue, will fit in to our Mishnah. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Chofches, and we now go to Halacha from the Daily Daf, something that we've not done for a while, and Be'ezer Hashem, we're getting back to the Daf Yomi routine after Pesach, Tisha B'Av, and we're Zochet B'Kudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, to be back into the Simchas HaChaim, while continuing to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of thinking about Yerushalayim, Nalas Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi. Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, the Halacha from the Daily Daf of Daf Chof Ches, in Meseches Psachim, is a short background and review of some of the basic diyunim today in the Poskim about a topic that is not familiar to many, particularly those in Chutz La'aretz, but it's an important set of halachas that we live today in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe because I am in Chutz La'aretz now, the she'ifa to feel back, the Kedushas Ha'aretz, has driven me to choose this halacha. But either way, it's the halacha of disposing the coin of Maaser Sheni and Pidyon Neta Revai, which emerges directly from our sugya. I will begin these halachos by quoting from a Rambam. I'm in my father Shlita's home, and I'm looking in a Rambam now the day after Tisha B'Av. I'm peering into an elegant Rambam that is over 150 years old, which was my grandfather's. My grandmother brought this Rambam from Europe as she left and left all of her family behind, all of whom were killed by the Nazis Al Kiddush Hashem. And my grandfather asked my grandmother to bring one thing with her from Poland, and that was a set of Rambams. This Rambam left on a boat in 1935 from the shores of Poland, made its way to Canada. And even though her brother, who was killed Al Kiddush Hashem, who went with her to the Sfarim store to pick out a beautiful Rambam for her brother-in-law to the new foreign shores of Canada, even though he was killed Al Kiddush Hashem, what he sent to us still continues to live on. What an appropriate way to begin the halacha the day after Tisha B'Av. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuras Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Zayin, that today we would still have Neta Revai, and that is food, fruit on the fourth year that has to be redeemed. So you redeem it onto a coin. The problem is, like Maaser Sheni, it was ultimately eaten Yerushalayim B'Kedusha, and that we can't do today. So says the Rambam, Ketzad Podim Pidyon Neta Revai B'Zman Hazeh, Acha She'osef Osam Mevarech Al Pidyon Neta Revai, Va'acha kach poides kulan va'filu pruta achas, va'oimer harei elu peduyim bepruta zu. Now those of us in Eretz Yisrael who are mafresh, trumas, and maestros that also have girsos for neta revai as well, and maaser sheni, are familiar with this girsa. In the past we've discussed neta revai in chutz la'aretz, which is not our topic for today. Harei elu peduyim bepruta zu, mushlach also pruta liyam hamelach. And he takes his pruta and he throws it into the Yam HaMelach. Now, of course, those of you who recall from our daf, this expression of throwing to the Yam HaMelach was something that we used in our sugya as well. The Gemara has a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef of whether one needs to grind down chametz and avodah zarah before throwing it into the water. And the Gemara differentiates between the Yam HaMelach and other rivers. In the Daf Shir, we explained that the difference between the Yam HaMelach and other rivers is that the Yam HaMelach is salty. And since it is salty, it causes the coins to decompose. Now, truth be told, we actually weren't being Masbir the Gemara according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the reason why the Avodah Zarah and the Chametz does not need to be ground down, the Gemara differentiates according to Rabbah between Yam HaMelach and Shar Naharos. Rashi says, Ein Svina Overes Bo. Rashi says that the distinction is that the Yam HaMelach, it's not common for ships to travel there, and since it's not common, so then people are not likely to recover that Avodah Zarah, that Chametz. Similarly, points out Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and this is quoted beautifully and summarized beautifully in the Sefer Pnine Halacha in the back of the Masifta Gemaris in the Halacha section. Reb Chaim Shlita in Derech Amun and Shmita V'Yovel Perek Zayin Halacha Ches points out that the Yisodos of Aaron Gemara are not only when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Chametz, but any time that there is a requirement, for example, like the Rambam described when it comes to Pidyon, Neter Revai, as well as what we have in Eretz Yisrael today in Maaser Sheni during the third and sixth year. Maaser is given to the Ani, however, in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, so then there is Maaser Sheni, which is taken and eaten up in Yerushalayim. Today, Bizman Hazeh, when we're Mafrish Trumas and Maaseros in Eretz Yisrael, we need to be Mechalel, we need to do the Pidyon of Maaser Sheni onto a Pruta. Some people have a organization that they employ that has a special pruta, and ultimately that pruta, as described in the Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, needs to be thrown liyam. Reb Chaim is medayik from the Rambam that the Rambam understands our Gemara the way we had presented, that the reason it's thrown liyam hamelach, and once it's thrown liyam hamelach, it doesn't need to be ground, is not the reason that Rashi had described. Rambam, he argues, and in this way he's similar to the Shita of Tosis and Dibur HaMaskal Avodah Zarah, holds that everybody agrees that a coin that is thrown into the Yam HaMelach because of its decomposing agents that cause the coin to disintegrate, in such a case, there's no need to grind it beforehand. In fact, if we would need to grind down the coins for Maaser Sheni that we do the Pidyon on, that would be quite complicated and difficult. Reb Chaim is medayik that the Rambam does not speak about grinding down these coins, and like Tosis writes, whenever it's going into the Yam HaMelach, in such a case, the decomposing agents cause that the coin will, on some level, disintegrate, and therefore does not need to be ground down beforehand. Reb Chaim also argues that the Lashon of the Rambam is meduyik in many different places. In some cases, the Rambam speaks about throwing things into a river. Yet, when it comes to Pidyon Neter Revai, he speaks about throwing to Yam HaMelach. And when it comes to Pidyon Maaser Sheni, there he mentions throwing it to the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Sea, which, if I'm not mistaken, that is how the Beis Din She'eres Yisrael disposes of the coins that they have for Pidyon Maaser Sheni, and there the Rambam makes no mention of grinding it down. Reb Chaim Kanievsky reports that he asked the Chazon Ish about whether one could rely on this approach and throwing the coins in the Mediterranean Sea without grinding them down beforehand, based on the opinion of the Rambam, even though the Rambam does not seem to be in accordance with the Shita of Rashi. Rashi would say that since it's common for ships to travel in the Mediterranean, we might have to be afraid that the ships will bring up those coins and people will come to have hana, which is prohibited from these coins. The Chazon Ish is quoted as responding that Rashi's opinion is not only Rashi's, even though in the Daf Yomi we had learned according to the Rambam, at the end of the day, we were negligent in reporting the Shita of Rashi, because not only is it the Shita of Rashi, but the Tur quotes this opinion as well, that when you throw the Tabos in all of the other waters, including the Yam HaGadol, that is the Mediterranean, you need to grind down the coins. Therefore, the Chazon Ish suggested, and hence you will see pictures of Dayanim traveling in a ship down in the Mediterranean, taking a cruise. The Chazon Ish said that if we're going to follow this opinion of Rashi as well, despite the fact that there is a tremendous tircha to have the coins ground down, maybe if we went into the middle of the Mediterranean, where there the odds of people going on and off ships are going to pick up the coins are very, very slim, then he said to Reb Chaim, then in such a case one could be lenient. Hence, to this day, there are many that travel far out in the Mediterranean before they drop down the coins of Maaser Sheni. It's interesting to note that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which was the subject of our daf, the Mechaber Paskins and Simin Kuf Mem Vav Sif Yud Dalet, mitzvah al kol ha-motzei elilim sheyivarenu v'yavdenu, it's a mitzvah to destroy all Avodah Zarah, v'keitza miva'ara, how do you destroy? Sheichek v'zayre l'ruach, Oy matil liyam. You could send it ground and send it to wind, or you could throw it into the sea. Notice our Gemara had a shaila of what it meant to throw it into the sea. Would it be acceptable to throw it in when it's be'en? So here the Shach comments, matil liyam ha-melach, writes the Shach, beloy shchika. When the Mechaber says liyam, it means liyam ha-melach, and then in such a case, it could be done without grinding. I would like to add that in our Mechaber, we don't have the words yam ha-melach, it just says liyam. So the Shach seems to be lenient and say that if you do it into a sea, which as Reb Chaim Kanievsky pointed out, has salt water as well, so then it does not need to be ground, says the Shach, but to other rivers, then it would need to be ground. This Bezer Hashem is an overview of our coins of Meiser Sheni and how they are disposed of, even Bizman Hazeh, as we see our Sugya, which comes alive. According to Rashi, it would not be enough to simply dispose them in the Mediterranean. Clearly, at the shores of the Mediterranean, they would need to be ground down. However, in the Rambam, it seems that there's a totally different havana of what the Yam HaMelech does to the coins, and therefore, the halacha might be different in the Yam HaMelech and even in the Yam HaGadol. And the pshara of the Chazon Ish was to encourage a boat to go far out to the Mediterranean to drop the coins of Meiser Sheni. Bezer Hashem, we should be zeicha that this halacha discussion be lahagdil toiru la'adira, and one day, instead of worrying about how to dispose of the coins of Meiser Sheni, we'll be zeicha to eat together the fruits of our Meiser Sheni, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh b'Binyana. If this Rambam survived to that point, I have no doubt that Bezer Hashem will be zeicha to do it together. B'mehirav Yameinu.